Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Russ Aveson, only on LA Talk Radio.
We have started, Russ. It is another Thursday evening. Welcome to the wonderful world of Worldwide Radio at latalkradio.com, and you are listening to the Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina. I'm in studio, finally, with my co-host, Russ Aveson.
Barely.
Actually, we haven't changed it yet, so you are still Russ Aveson.
Sure.
So you may want to remember that.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Hey, this 7 o'clock thing, you know, this is my first week doing it.
I know, huh?
But what's even worse is I looked at my calendar as I was driving here. I had 7 o'clock done. I just never.
I'm sure you did. And you know, I got to looking at the clock. And I thought, oh, crap, I better call him.
Yeah.
So I called you. And are you in the garage? No. Yeah. And I knew right then. Actually, Ronan was laughing because I knew that you were in Starbucks.
Oh, I was. And you know, the funny part of this too is that. I was sitting, I was relaxing, I had just finished reading the book. I was watching the special on, you know, today's the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service.
Right,
and
right.
So I was watching the live stream from Gardner, Wyoming, or Montana, rather. And I was there just 2 months ago, and they were building and getting it all ready for this big event. And I was watching the event, I was taken up in that, and I look and I go, what is he calling me for?
Actually, I think this is also the 75th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz. 73rd?
I don't know.
But it came out August 25th, 1939.
But this sure isn't Kansas.
This sure isn't.
No.
Bobby Jean, of course, is at her her Out West concert series tonight with Junie and Joe Harrington. And I just hope they have a great time. And I know they have tickets left for tomorrow night. So if you really want to go see Junie Fisher and Joe Harrington, the number you want to call is 661-347-9700. And they will take your reservations, and I sincerely hope they offered me tickets, but we couldn't make it. So I really hope that everybody who goes has a good time. Junie's a great performer, and Joe Harrington we've had on the show. He's a great storyteller, which is what he does. So
yeah, but tonight you're stuck with me.
Tonight I got you. Actually, we have a really great writer tonight, and we both read the book.
Yes.
And her book was phenomenal.
It was really, really different.
Yes, it was.
And I'm anxious to
it read like a family diary.
It did.
Yes.
It did.
Yes. And I'm going to ask her about that. But right now, the Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing in Simi Valley, the nice folks at Black Dog. And if you're new in the writing game, give us a call. We can probably help you out. The number you want to call is 805-795-3165. It's also brought to you by Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in Newhall. They're the ones giving the concert series tonight. That would be Jim and Bobby Jean Bell, Bobby Jean is my normal co-host, other than Mr. Late over here, Mr. Aveson.
Yeah, I was here when you started.
That's true.
When you said hello, I was here.
That's true. Mr. Aveson, actually. And by Target Freight Management. And, you know, we mention Target Freight every week, and we do that because, of course, they write us a check. But we also do because they're really a great company to do business with. And if you're looking for a company to move truckloads of your freight, this is the service you want. They're actually the best in the industry. They're the finest, and get your freight there every time, on time, at the rates you need for your transportation costs. So call them today, 844-653-7789. Tell them you heard it here in the Writer's Block. They'll have a little something extra for you. And while we're at it, I might as well do this too, if you are an LTL shipper, and you are probably looking for the best rates with the least hassle. LTL meaning?
Less than a truckload.
Oh, you are awesome and godlike. call Target Freight Management today. Their customized transportation management system is just the ticket, getting your freight moved your way. Call Target Freight Management today at 888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com. That's www.targetfmi.com on the web. Call today. You will not be sorry.
All right, Jim. So I gotta ask you this.
Talk to me.
Okay. How old is Bella?
Bella is 4 and a half.
Bella is Jim's lovely golden retriever.
She is a nice dog.
Okay. So I met you when she was about 4 months, 5 months old?
16 weeks, yes.
16
exactly.
Weeks. Okay. So I've known you for over 4 years.
Yeah.
And out all this time, I'm just sitting here listening to you talk about Target Freight. I'm thinking, this guy has a really amazing voice. I don't know why. It just never dawned on me.
Really?
But yeah, because we've been doing the show for over a year now.
Over a year now, yeah.
And you really have a pleasant voice.
Well, thank you.
What are you doing later?
I'm not getting in your car. We have as a guest tonight, and I have to say that I've been excited about talking to her because I actually have spoken with her twice now, and she is just a tremendous lady. She's from something Plex in Texas.
All the Texans are the same.
Yeah. Well, she's from around the Dallas-Fort Worth area. She's a Texas-based author. Kathleen M. Rogers is a former frequent contributor to Family Circle magazine and Military Times. So she's done her homework. Her work has also appeared in anthologies published by McGraw-Hill, University of Nebraska Press, Potomac Books, Health Communications Incorporated, AMG Publishers, and Press 53. I don't even know what that is, Press 53.
This is one notch below Press 54.
Press 54, right. Yes. In 2014, Kathleen was named a distinguished alumna from Tarrant County College Northeast Campus. Now, Tarrant County is, of course, where Dallas is. Three of her aviation poems were featured in a new exhibit at the Cradle of Aviation Museum on Long Island, New York. Wow. She is the author of the award-winning novel, The Final Salute, featured in USA Today, the Associated Press, and Military Times. Her second novel, Johnny Come Lately, won a 2015 Gold Medal for Literary Fiction from Military Writers Society of America, and Reader's Favorite awarded her a Bronze Medal for Women's Fiction in the 2015 International Book Awards. The novel has been featured in Stars and Stripes, which is a military newspaper that's published and sent overseas to our soldiers and sailors and airmen, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Southern Writers Magazine, and On the Author's Corner on public radio. She lives in a suburb of North Texas with her husband, a retired fighter pilot, commercial airline pilot, and their dog, Denton. I won't tell you what kind of dog Denton is, but she told me earlier. For more information, click here. Well, you can obviously click here, but we'll get more information out of her as the night goes on. Kathleen, welcome to the Writer's Block.
Thank you so much, Jim. I'm happy to be here.
And you may have a hard time distinguishing Russ and I because we sound almost alike on
the
radio.
We have outstanding voices.
We do. We have radio voices.
Actually, Russ, when you said Jim had a great voice, I told Jim earlier today when he called me to check in that he had a great radio voice.
She did.
He does. And a face made for radio also.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that we're all sitting here naked because nobody knows the difference.
Yes.
You can get away doing the same thing, you and your dog Denton.
All right, so
never mind on that.
So I have to guess because I didn't know this, but my guess is that Denton's a chocolate lab.
Actually, thank you. Denton is like three or four different things. We got Denton from Denton, Texas, at the animal shelter in 2013 because I was grieving. 5 months earlier, my chocolate lab, Bubba Dog, had died unexpectedly. So I loved my chocolate lab. Didn't expect, you can't replace them. And got to the shelter, and long story short, Denton had been overlooked. And I had said a prayer right before we left the house. I touched the box that contains Bubba's ashes. He was 9 years old. And I said, Denton, you need to take me to a doggy who needs a family. And so every day now, it's been almost 3 years, I tell Denton every day, Denton, you're the one that Bubba sent.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I believe it.
That's like my dog, Bella. She's the one that my Rottweiler, Brittany, sent. And then, of course...
Brittany was your Rottweiler.
Yeah, and then Russ was my dog trainer, so...
Okay, and Denton is part Rottweiler, part Catahoula Healer, and part American Terrier. So he's
a Heinz 57. He's a Heinz 57.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We call him All-American.
We do. Okay, let's get into this book. We're only going to spend maybe 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes on your book, and because I really want to talk about some of the stuff that I read in this novel, Johnny Come Lately. And I'm going to assume that the title stems from the name of the woman, the main character, which is Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And
Johnny Kitchen.
Johnny Kitchen and her entire family. Of course, her husband Dale, her daughter Callie Ann, her sons Cade and DJ, and her grandma. Who was just quite
Granny
the
Opal.
Granny Opal, and then her mother, who shows up kind of like as a ghost occasionally. And
Victoria Grubb.
Victoria, there you go.
Queen Victoria.
See, it's part of the Grubb family.
Queen Victoria. And I am so impressed. Thank you. Real quick, Russ, Jim.
Yes.
Thank you for reading my novel.
Oh, it was
thank you for writing the book.
But I do have to ask Kathleen, and this comes from strictly from curiosity. Is this based in fact? Is this based in
Here's how I write my fiction.
Okay.
You know, so you read my bio, so I've done all this other freelance work.
Right.
But in my fiction, and in my first novel, The Final Salute, in Johnny Come Lately, and the new book, Seven Wings to Glory, which releases April 2017, here's how I write fiction. I take real-life experiences, and I take my imagination, and I mix them up in the South we call it gumbo, everywhere else we might call it stew. Maybe in the Southwest. I'm actually born and raised in New Mexico, so I'm actually a native New Mexican living in Texas, but there we might call it chili. But I mix it all up, and I have dreams where I dream about characters, and I try to capture that. But my fiction is contemporary fiction. It's realistic fiction with a hint of magical realism. So... I don't know if I could ever totally write a story where it just came from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, actually does. It actually does. And mm-hmm. I have to tell you that throughout this book, her mother, Queen Victoria, as she appeared and disappeared.
I had fun when that nickname came to
me. Oh, I'm sure you did.
When DJ coined it.
I'm
Queen
sure you
Victoria.
Did. As she flowed in and out of the story, or popped in and out of the story, rather, is a better word. You had me going there for a while because I almost wanted to believe that she actually was dead.
Mm-hmm.
But she was coming back to give her daughter a message of some sort. But
wow,
couldn't
I just
quite
got goosebumps.
Do that. But apparently that wasn't your idea, and if I gave you a new one, feel free to use it.
Well, actually, you'll have to read Seven Wings to Glory down the road just to see who might actually do that in the new book.
Okay, well, we will as soon as it comes out in April of 2017.
Okay.
Okay, then. I did enjoy this book, and I know Russ did, too, because he wouldn't say he did if he didn't.
No. I'm going to tell you, there's a couple things that stood out in this book that, you know, I am only co-hosting once a month, but every month I have to read one book. And most of the time, these books are books that I never would have chosen on my own if I was out looking for a good read.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain parts or different features of these books that stand out. And the one thing that stood out to me is your amazing ability to create the imagery. When something would happen, like something as simple as someone was in the bathroom and they'd flush the toilet, and you talked about the water going through the pipes, and now they would expect grandma to come walking out. And I'm at a loss for any of the others right now, but there were just things that the sounds, the smells, the feels were so real to me, and maybe it's just because I related to them from my childhood, but mm-hmm. it was mm-hmm. wonderful.
Russ, thank you so much. I'm going to take your words and carry them in my heart, because I'm going to start a new novel in January, and I'm going to try to attempt the same freaking thing. And writing, I'm going to say it right now, writing is damn hard work. It does not come easy to me. It's a love-hate relationship. But when it comes alive on the page, and like for you, Russ, thank you for telling me, because, wow, that's what I live for. I'll write for praise.
You will.
All right, and I just thought of one other image. I just thought of another image is when, mm-hmm. Johnny goes to meet the neighbor, the pilot,
Mr. Marvel,
yes. Right?
And she sees him out there, and she was going to throw the coffee away, and suddenly she grabs two mugs, she pours the coffee, goes out there, and I felt everything that was going on in that scene. It, it, it was quite
well,
relatable to me.
Thank you. I'm shaking. Mr. Marvel, out of all the characters in Johnny Come Lately, I mean, Johnny's the protagonist, and I love them all. I have a special place in my heart for Mr. Marvel. Do you know why? Because Mr. Marvel, he might have been a professional pilot and was successful in his career. He was a very lonely man.
He was a very lonely man, a very sad man.
Yes.
You know, it lives alone with two cats in a rundown house, digging a hole in his front yard.
I know. In the rain. In the rain.
Otis and Cleo were the cats.
Right. Otis and Cleo, and then his brother, whom he put up the flag.
Edwin.
Right. I mean, there was so much stuff in this novel that, and you bounced back and forth, but it was in a way that I got used to after about the first two chapters. You know, you went from the journal to when she was a little girl to when she was an adult, back to when she was a little girl, then to the journal again. And I got, wait a minute, there's a rhythm to this. And once I got the rhythm, I was good.
Yeah, it took a little bit to get into that.
Seven Wings to Glory is more linear.
Oh, okay.
Just in case.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually,
okay.
I prefer these. I've always appreciated books that jump back and forth because, in my heart, I mean, my favorite kind of reading is any science fiction that involves time travel or time space changes. Uh-huh. And so, anytime you go back and forth in a book, I like that. I liked it a lot.
Oh, that's good to hear.
But now something...
Thanks, Russ.
I want to ask you, where did you come up with this idea that she was doing this journal? And then I got the feeling that really what the journal represented was her inner thoughts about life as she was moving through.
Yeah, and you know, the journal entries in Johnny Come Lately, it was a great literary device to create the backstory... Try not to burden the reader down with, oh my God, all this backstory, to propel the plot, the story forward. And you know, a lot of those letters or journal entries are, who are they? Who does Johnny write to?
Her mother.
Some of those, she writes to dead people.
Right.
Well, she writes to her mother who's missing.
And to her Uncle
she
John.
She writes to dead people, a dead lover, or her first boyfriend who was killed
her
as
dead
a teenager.
Father.
Right.
Yeah, her dead father killed in Vietnam, and there you go, Jim. I got the Vietnam vet in.
Yes, you
pretty
did.
Well, actually, he was, you know, killed. So the journal entries, I don't know. They were some of my favorite parts to write. I'm not saying they were easier to write than the actual scenes, but they give us an insight into, because the story's written third person through Johnny's viewpoint.
Sure.
But when we are reading those journal entries, we are inside her heart.
Right.
In her head.
Yeah, I found the journals to be refreshing in that Johnny, it's almost like she communicated. That's how she got everything out of her soul. She put it in her journal. And she obviously in her head knew that no one was ever going to read it, but in her heart, I think she really, really, truly wanted someone to read it.
Well, yeah, because what Johnny really wants, if we keep reading, she wants to be a published writer.
Yes. Yes,
so
and that's what she wants
her,
when she goes to college.
I gave Johnny many parts of me, and what did you all, do you remember when she goes to class, because she goes, like a lot of people, Johnny Kitchen is 43, she goes back to college later in life, okay, and even at a community college, most of the people are going to be younger, but you're going to have the moms and the dads, the older people.
Sure.
Do you remember the scene where she writes the irreverent letter to Eve?
I do. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the letter exactly, but I do remember the passage where she wrote it.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite, because I had fun with that, because how many people would have the, and not me, but Johnny Kitchen wrote the letter, the audacity to write to Eve, the first woman.
Right, the first woman.
Or earlier, Johnny's sitting in church, and she starts scribbling on a church bulletin, and she's rewriting scripture.
Right, right.
And she can actually hear Grandpa Grubbs in her head, you know.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, right.
You got a lot of, you know. Whatever he says, you know, rewriting the Bible.
That's when she's in the back because she didn't sign up for any volunteer work.
Oh, Lord, yeah. She's not teaching VBS that year.
Well, you know, journals are a good way of passing on information in books. I wrote a book called Bugles in the Sun, and it was about the last 20 days of the 7th Cavalry, but it was written by, it was written on the troopers' point of view, not the officers. And the journal was written by a corporal in I Company named John Connolly, and each chapter started with a journal entry.
Oh, I love that.
And it really made the book different. And Russ is over here nodding because he read it.
Yes.
It really made the book different, and it kind of gave you an insight into what he was feeling. And he was able to express.
And I bet for your readers, I bet it drew them right in.
Oh, it did. It did. And he was able to express what the troopers were feeling as well. And they were all afraid. I mean, they were scared to death, most of them.
So right, because they're probably all, 18, 19?
Yeah, some of them were in their 20s, but, I mean, they had no idea what they were running up against until they hit an Indian trail that was 3 miles wide, and then I guess they pretty much knew all their gooses were cooked.
Yeah.
So, but let's get back into your writing. I love your style, and I want to talk a little bit about your writing style, because you do write in third person, but you also write in first person.
Yes.
And you kind of mixed it up a little bit, and it was refreshing. Again, it was a little hard to kind of grab hold of that and find the rhythm to it. But once you did, it was good. I loved the book.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I started the book because I had a limited amount of time and I was traveling around. So I started it by listening to the audio book. And then,
oh, awesome.
So I read about the first quarter of the book. Then I listened to the audio book for about... Oh, maybe half. Well, no. Wait, I got to say right. I started with the audiobook, and then I got into the reading of the book. And the thing with the audiobook is sometimes I found myself a minute or two behind because I was trying to figure out how it had shifted from the journal to what was going on. It wasn't clear. But when you sit down and read it, because you're able to delineate that in the way the typeface is, you know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, you see the words on the page.
Exactly.
Now, the audio, I thought Leslie Ellis did a really good job. She's a Grammy Award-winning artist.
Mm-hmm.
She won her Grammy with Celine Dion on My Heart Will Go On for the movie Titanic.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm so honored that Leslie came on board to do the audio. Leslie and I have an article coming out September 1st in Southern Writers Magazine on how we, how Leslie agreed to come on board and how we met. We met through my poem called The Lady Let Him Fly and a song she wrote called Flyer Song. And we met a few years ago online. I've never met her in person. But, yeah, you're right about how you can listen to a story. And some people might listen better than actually, you know, pick up the book or the Kindle and read
sure.
it.
Sure.
Do you, out of curiosity, when you have someone that's doing the audio version, do you collaborate to some extent, or are they just given free license that your publisher says, well, we're doing the audio book?
Oh, what Leslie would do is she read Johnny like two times.
Mm-hmm.
We just call it Johnny now. She'd read it. She read it two times, and then she had places she marked up, you know, and trying to get into the different characters. Thought she did a really fine job playing the different characters because she's also, I mean, she's a Broadway actress.
Right.
A former Broadway actress. She was in Cats and several others. But so what Leslie would do is every time she read or finished a chapter, she would send it to me and the publisher, and we would listen. And once in a while, there might be, hey, Leslie, pronounce this differently. But, yes, yeah, so I got to listen to every chapter. And here's what's wild. I have to tell you this, the process of writing. As I'm listening to each chapter in Johnny Come Lately, I am in just hurrying to finish the sequel, Seven Wings to Glory, because I had a deadline because my publisher had offered me a contract. So it helped me to listen to the audio of Johnny Come Lately while I'm writing the sequel, Seven Wings to Glory. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah.
I don't have any books on tape, so I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
you should
it's
read
my
your
first
own.
One to have on audio.
I do.
It's been an amazing experience.
Is that right? And you know, yes. We mentioned this afternoon when I spoke with you, and you told me something interesting. Your agent is Jeannie Loicano, and she's been on our show. She's a good friend of the Writer's Block, and we interview a lot of her writers. And you told me this afternoon that you actually had signed with her 2 years ago, but then you kind of like stalked her for 2 years before that.
Yeah, I actually this September I signed with her 2013. Mm-hmm. So we're coming up on three years.
Right.
And I did joke that I stalked her. I followed her career. Several other writers have too. Followed her career when she was at another agency in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And she had represented an author that I really, really respect. And so I queried in the summer of 2013. This is for all you writers out there listening who are trying to get an agent or trying to believe in your work. Here's the deal. I queried about 150 agents. I got five or six requests for full or partial of the manuscript. In the end, I had two strong offers, and one was from Jeannie, and one was from a very well-known, respected gentleman on the East Coast. But I went with Jeannie because the other agent, nothing against this, but he only represents Christian writers. And I have Christian themes in all of my work, but I don't want to limit. Plus, I would have had to sanitize the book because I have salty language. I write about real people because I am a real person.
Sure.
And but anyways, yeah. So Jeannie loved Johnny Come Lightly, and we met at a corner bakery in Irving, Texas. She's based in Irving, Texas now, and 1 hour meeting turned into four. And then we discussed, she wanted to know about my first novel. So The Final Salute took 16 years, over 100 revisions, 100 rejections. In 2008, in the year that I turned, on my 50th birthday, The Final Salute came out from a small traditional press out of Oceanside, California. And now it's on its third publisher.
Wow.
So it's the little book that grew wings and learned to fly. And the reason I wanted to throw that out there is for all the writers out there who it's hard sometimes to believe in your dreams, you get rejections, you want to give up. I am proof. Please don't give up. My boys, I have two sons, they were 4 and 6 when I started that novel. They were young grown men when it came out. And you know, I'd already been published on a national level in magazines, but the novel, I wanted the novel.
Right, right.
And so it was, when I turned 50, I kind of forgot that I actually turned 50. So when I turned 51, I went, oh, crap, I'm 51.
Do you know, it's interesting, though, that that's a theme that seems to be somewhat common through a lot of writers, that they've started mm-hmm. with some other books, then they have their breakout book,
right,
and then they go back and draw on these other ones,
right,
and then suddenly there's a market for them.
Yes. I think the key, I love to give talks on perseverance in the publishing world, or writing through adversity. All those years, like my husband would go fly, I'd take the boys to school, I didn't have a dog back then, I kept office hours. So when the boys were in school, I mean, I would go run, I was a runner back then, there were days when I would actually dress up, put on makeup, a dress or whatever, and come into my home office, because I had to think as a professional to keep myself going. And you know, do whatever it takes.
Sure.
If you want to write in your PJs and drink wine or coffee all day, that's fine. But for me, that's what worked then. Now I have the run of the house, so I write in every room because my boys are grown, so I don't have to hide anywhere. When they were little, I had to go hide.
Yeah, I get that. Hey, look, I've got a break here for a little bit and do a commercial, and then we'll be back with you. So hang tough. We're going to be back with you in just a moment. Sutter's Mill in Simi Valley is one of the finest steakhouses in Ventura County. At Sutter's, you'll find casual dining with a touch of elegance in a rustic steakhouse atmosphere. Their well-trained staff strives to provide their guests with a great dining experience. At Sutter's, you will find the finest in steaks and seafood, along with specialty items such as barbecued pork, deep-fried shrimp, or chicken. Sutter's offers a full bar with special happy hour pricing and never charges a corkage fee, which is always a good thing, especially if you like to bring your own wine. Visit their website at Sutter's4Dining, that's Sutter's4Dining.com, to make online reservations and view their hours and menus. They also offer a summer special section, which gives you a 20% discount Monday through Thursday from 4 p.m. to close. So enjoy. For reservations, call 805-520-4797 or go to www.suttersfordining.com on the web. And we're going to give you a little bit of music here, and we'll be back in just a few.
I am writing you tonight, dear, from East New Mexico, where the grass is getting greener, the Frio Rio flows. I guess you gave up on me a long time ago, while I was standing in the smoke of the Brandon fire. I know this cowboy life I lead never much appeal to you. Now there's something that's been doing.
And I believe that is Dave Stamey. And he's
I was going to tell him it was me.
Well, it could have been you, but you know, and Dave is a featured performer at Bobby Jean's Out West concert series. In fact,
nice.
He was just there. Like Dave it. Is good. Dave is. In fact, I have one of his CDs in my car, and I just fell in love with it. And I'm not really a cowboy music kind of guy, but I really like his.
I'm
his
really
album.
Surprised with the type of writing you do.
I know, huh? Because yeah. I'm actually a, you know, big time cowboy writer. So. Anyway, are you back with us, Kathleen? If you're just now joining us, we're on the air with Kathleen Rogers tonight, and she is regaling us with stories about how she gets her books written. And if you're
one
just
one word at a time.
If you're just now joining us, man, you have missed a fun half of a show. But stick around, because I'm sure Kathleen has a lot more little tidbits to throw at us. So anyway, I wanted to tell you that I actually got interviewed for American Cowboy magazine.
Mm.
I did.
Yes. And
going to be in the November issue, I believe.
So I'm sure you're going to be stocking up with a lot of issues to hand out.
Nah, I don't care about it. It's an American cowboy. That's not me anymore.
Well, no. Used to be.
Used to be.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Kathleen.
Wait, ask Kathleen. Are you involved? Like down in
I'm
the
here.
South,
hey,
horses?
Congratulations on American Cowboy.
Oh, thank you.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah, it is a cool thing.
So are you a horsey girl down there?
No, I'm not. My sister-in-law, my husband's sister, loves horses. And, I mean, I love horses. I don't know that much about them, although one time in Ohio at my dad's people on a farm, I was on a horse, and it took off in a pasture and pretty much took me under a clothesline, and I thought I died. But
hence the term clotheslining.
Wow.
You know what?
But I
think that's happened.
But I totally respect. I love. They're beautiful creatures. We have friends that are horse people.
You have to remember, that's a 1,000-pound animal. They can hurt you.
Yes.
Know, especially if you make them angry, which is
they're
not that hard.
They're very intelligent,
they
I understand.
Extremely smart. And everybody says, they have a brain the size of a pea. Nah. Sorry.
No, they're smart. Well, we have two horses
yes,
at the ranch.
Yes, you have horses.
And I'm not a horse person. I mean, I will tell you this, Kathleen. You probably know more about horses than I do, and I have two of them on the ranch. I know what they look like when I see one, but they are beautiful. Like you said, I enjoy watching them. They are mm-hmm. very friendly. They absolutely have personality.
They do.
Yeah, they're great animals, and they're fun. Mm-hmm. They're just it's really fun to watch them, and they excuse the pun, but they horse around.
They do, and we've actually had guests on the show, Ken Daisy Wade and Penelope. I forgot her last name. Shame on me.
Mm.
But anyway, together they are the horse sluts. And they've been on a couple times, and they're absolutely hilarious to listen to. They're a lot of fun. Anyway, back to Kathleen Rogers. This is a question we ask all of the writers on our show, and I'm getting it done early because sometimes we wait until like 2 minutes before the end of the show.
Okay.
The name of the show is The Writer's Block. Have you ever had writer's block?
You know, a lot of people say they don't believe in it. For me, if I have had writer's block, it's because I chose to have writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
I chose not to write. There was a period between about 2002 and 2008. I stopped freelancing. I lost faith in that manuscript that grew up to be the final salute. This is before Leatherneck Publishing took it on.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to college. That's how I could relate to Johnny Kitchen going back as an older adult.
Sure.
I went back to college. I got a dog. My sons graduated. I became a nanny. In secret, I would work on that manuscript. And then in 2007, January, I took writing classes at SMU and got back in the game. And then in 2008, joined the Writers Garret in Dallas, Texas. And that year, my novel came out. But does writer's block exist? I think writers, for me, I can't speak for any other writer in the world. I think writer's block does exist in that you do make a choice.
I think so.
And sometimes life makes that choice for you. When my son went to war, I have to get this in. My youngest son went to Afghanistan in 2014. While he was at war, I could not write.
Hmm.
I knew I was supposed to be working on Seven Wings to Glory, and a mother in that book, I will tell you, Johnny Kitchen does send a son to war.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't write when my son was at war because every second I was waiting for the freaking doorbell to ring.
Right,
yeah, and the green car.
And nobody wants that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, yes, there was writer's block for me, but I guess I made a choice. And at that, for those, that time he was in Afghanistan, I thought, you know what, I'm a mother, and it will come. I just prayed every second. And so anyways, that's my take on writer's block.
Okay. So,
and you know what, when you start writing, and you finally break through, and you write one word, next word, next word, it's like slinging stuff up on a wall. There it was, a relief, like, oh my God. And my husband would say, oh, I'm so glad you're working again. Now, I get real, can I say bitchy?
Sure. Say anything you
okay,
want.
I get real bitchy when I'm working because I whine all the time about the writing process.
Sure.
But when I'm not writing, I do the same thing. So I might as well be writing.
Okay, so what you're trying to say.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
I won't.
But, you know,
okay.
It's interesting.
Yes, I am.
So what really, it sounds like, yes, writer's block is there, but it's self-imposed,
yes.
But it's not always a conscious decision.
Well, it sounds like almost.
I think if you're depressed, if there's trauma, if there's clinical depression, or someone in your you've got a loved one that's ill, and all your time is as a caregiver, or, you know, there are ways to squeeze work in. There are ways to write. I wrote as a nanny, squeezing stuff in the last few years when I was working as a nanny in
mm-hmm.
Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when it's just life comes at you too much. But, you know, real writers, you know what real writers do? You don't have to actually be sitting there writing those
mm-hmm.
words. Because real writers, no matter whether you're actually physically doing it, what are we all doing? We are writing in our heads.
In our brains, right.
We are dreaming stories.
Right.
And
right.
And if God allows it, we can come back and get our work done and be better for it. I'm a better writer now because I went back to college, and for a few years I took classes, I studied, I read my textbooks. My sons were in high school at the time and says, Mom, you're taking this college thing way too seriously, you know. And then what was funny is when each of them graduated college, that was some of the happiest days of my life, is to see my sons get their college diplomas. But anyways.
Interesting how many things you have revealed about yourself that are part of
Johnny
Kitchen.
Come Lately.
Yeah, definitely. The child going off to war, you're a runner. What else was it? There were three things just in
dogs.
The last 10 minutes. Dogs, obviously. But yeah, that's
and,
interesting.
Well, and let's
going
just
back
come
to school.
Right up. The eating
yes.
disorder, okay. Johnny Kitchen was a recovered bulimic.
Right.
Now, I'm very open about this. I am a recovered bulimic. I wrote about this. I came out in a huge way in an article in Family Circle in 1994 called Dying to Be Thin. Millions of readers read Family Circle.
Oh, yes,
you know,
they
can get it in all over the country. And I struggled for 15 years from the age of 14 to 29. So I wrote about it in Family Circle. I wrote about it in some other places. I don't want to mention it on the air, but I did a Christian big-time TV show. The producers, they all came to my house for 6 hours. It was a little cheesy, but Oprah never called, so I did that show. And I did radio. And then I got tired of talking about it because I'm like, oh, my God. And then I talked to church groups, drill teams, schools. You know, I wanted to be a beacon of hope to anybody struggling mm-hmm. with an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And then I got tired of it. I'm like, ugh. But then when I started working on Johnny and she came to me years and years ago, I thought, you know what? I'm not through with that issue. I want to write a novel with a recovered bulimic and show that it is totally doable. And if anybody out there is listening or listens later when the show is archived,
hopefully,
and you are
is.
Struggling with food issues, you can get help.
But you really did a good job of describing the demons that go through someone with an eating disorder's brain.
Those were hard to write.
I'm sure they were.
And yet what I did is I went deep down inside myself, and I will tell you, I remembered certain things, and so that's what I did. I gave those to Johnny Kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very liberating. I'm really happy to say that she's also recovered, you know.
Yeah,
now,
right.
In the new novel, there's hardly any discussion of this because I feel like I discussed that issue. There's new things that happen in Seven Wings to Glory.
Right.
But it was very liberating, and I'm really proud that two male readers, you, Jim and Russ, you both have read the book, and that means a lot to me. I mean, you know, I know for the show and all that, but really, thank you.
Read it and liked it.
Thank you.
You know what? One of the better scenes in your book, and I really, God, I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to anyway.
Go ahead.
One of the better scenes in your book is when she's standing in the kitchen, and she's holding a spoon in her hand.
I was just thinking about that.
And she throws it down, and she says, no, I won. My God, that was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I made it. I won. Then there's a scene where she is in the bathroom in the front of the mirror, I think. And I think that's it. Or no, maybe it is in the kitchen. But, you know, it is that old demon. I think anyone that's had any kind of addiction, whether it's food, alcohol, or you're a former smoker, or or porn, or gambling, or shopping, whatever kind of addictions are out there, even if you have moved on and you're recovered, we all know that all it takes is one trigger.
That's it.
And you have to know what those triggers are so you can live the rest of your life and never go back to that dark hole.
Right, right. Well, see, I'm a former smoker. And I still
I still
consider myself a smoker. I quit smoking 21 years ago. So what I do is I still get cravings for a cigarette occasionally. But
really?
What I do is I can have a cigarette if I want it. I just opt and choose not to smoke it. And as soon as I do that, the craving goes away and I move on with my life.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, someone told me one time.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm.
They said that, you know, everything you do in life, all the decisions, here's what it is. You have your goals.
Right.
And it's very simple. You have your goal, and everything that enters into your life, whatever it is, if it's somebody handing you a cigarette or somebody offering you a drink or whatever it is, you just look at it, and if it'll help you attain your goal, you say yes to it, and if it won't, you say no. And it's that simple, black and white.
I agree.
Unfortunately,
with that.
Us making the decisions is the hard part.
Right. Right.
Russ, I never heard that. I wish somebody would have told me that when I was 19.
Well, actually, he can write that down for you and email it.
There you go.
Okay, I like that. I might. That's good.
There you go. You. See, Russ is kind of smart sometimes.
He's, once in a while, there's something that pops. So there's still some brain cells.
He
does.
He has these little. He has these little flashes of brilliance, yes. And then they go away. And he sits there with his eyes half closed again. You can tell we're friends.
Yeah, not anymore.
I love it.
Oh yeah. So when you're coming up with a storyline, and I mean, I get the fact that a lot of this stuff actually happened to you, or you drew from your personal history, but right. Not all of it came from your personal history.
All of it what?
Not all of it came from your personal history. Some of it.
No. Imagination.
Absolutely. And so you're sitting there, and you're coming up with a storyline, and you know that you have to make a character be someplace at a certain time, and how does your process make that scenario happen?
It's painful. You know, what I'll do is, and I write, now that I don't have to hide from my boys, because God bless you boys, you're grown, I love you, I can write pretty much anywhere I want, except then the dogs want the attention, but yeah. I become those characters, whether it's females or males. Mm-hmm. My protagonist, mm-hmm. by the way, in The Final Salute was a male fighter pilot. Thank you very much. And I've been told that I did his viewpoint very well.
Well, you're married to one.
What's that?
You're
I'm married to one too, but I understood and I knew how fighter pilots think and all that, even though I'm not one.
Right.
But for the characters, and then in the new book, I've taken some huge risk in Seven Wings to Glory, and I'm very excited. I think Seven Wings to Glory is the best book I have ever written, best story, best piece of writing. Yes, it's a sequel to Johnny, but it is a standalone, and so you don't have to read Johnny to read Seven Wings, and I'm hoping more men will come on board with this one. There's a more of a military theme in this one. There's more magical realism, and I'm just going to come out and say it. There's issues of, racism. And a friend of mine a few years ago said, oh, my gosh, you can't. That's kind of scary if you touch on that. I said, oh, that just makes me want to write about it even more. If you tell me I can't do it, I so want to do it.
Well, I did the same thing. I did a story about black cowboys and the Knight Riders coming after them.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh wow!
It was the same type of deal. The racism was definitely there.
Yes.
But Kathleen, I love that part of your personality is, don't you dare me! Don't dare me because you
don't
know I'll do it.
Do it. Don't tell me I can't do it. You know, I have to tell you that on the vein that you know you sit down, you become the character, and you write the story. And this last book that you've written that doesn't come out until April of 2017. You're killing me about this, incidentally. One of the books that I've written was a standalone and easily standalone. It's called Still Waters, and it's probably the best story I've ever come up with, and one of the best books I've ever written. And it's a very dark tale, and it's very bloody, but it's really a good story. Mm-hmm. So if you want to read any Jim Christina book, read Still Waters. You'll like it.
Still Waters. Okay, I'm writing that down.
Yep.
All right. Now I have a question, and actually, kind of to both of you, because I am a wannabe writer, maybe, and I never really thought about doing it. Well, I've started it.
Okay, good.
I've actually started it. But what I want to know is, do you ever get a part of your writing, you finish a scene or you finish some dialogue, and you do a fist pump? It's like, yeah, that's it. That's it. I mean, do you get that high from it?
Yeah.
How about you, Kathleen?
Yes,
does that happen?
Russ, uh-huh. When Bubba was alive, I called it doing the Bubba dog dance. And now with Denton, I call it the Denton dog dance. And no one else has to see me. But I dance. I sing. I throw my hands in the air and thank God. Yes. And then a few minutes later, it's like, oh, crap, I got to go back and write. Yes.
Yeah, I do the same thing. When I hit a piece of dialogue that I know really works, or a scene that really, really works, I just sit back and I go. And then I say it out loud to myself. Okay, this is how I know if it's going to work. I'll say it out loud. And by God,
Jim,
it does work.
That's a good point. Let's bring this up real quick. And I tell this so many times to writers just starting out. please read your work right. out loud. Read it out loud to yourself, to your dog, your right. cat, your bird. Read it into a recorder. Nowadays, everybody's got smartphones.
Right.
It's so easy to read a scene or the whole chapter or a poem or an essay. Read it, then play it back. Listen for the pacing. Listen for the cadence. If you wince or want to go and hide, then it's not ready.
Right. Then you go back and rewrite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Russ, congratulations to you for taking the plunge.
Oh, well, thank you. It's right now, it's just putting my toes in the shallow end. But
well, I've told him
you
that.
You know, but that's where it starts. And you know, a great book, as somebody said word by word earlier, either Russ or Jim, you know, Anne Lamott's book, Bird by Bird, that's the Bible for all writers. They're also Writing Down the Bones by Natalie Goldberg. Those two books freed me up in the 90s, even though I'd been writing forever. They really freed me up. It's okay. Just get the stuff out there.
Right.
And don't, another thing about writing, whether we're writing, well, especially novelists, writing is about taking risk. And don't be afraid if your mother's going to read it or the little old lady at church or, you know, get it down. If it's in your head and your heart, then it might be worth sharing.
Right. Right. And you have to understand that some characters in your book have a dirty mouth.
Yes,
and,
they do.
And it's going to happen. And people use swear words, and they use them a lot. And they used
yes.
to back in the Old West as well. So, you know, it's Bobby Jean has a phrase she used with the first time she ever read one of my novels. She said, "It's a really good story, but boy, is the language salty."
Salty.
Salty language is a nice way of putting it. Sort of, but, like, you know, beef jerky.
Right.
Salty.
She's since gotten used to it, so.
I tried to rewrite the final Salute the Fighter Pilot novel and sanitize it, and I took it to a writing class at SMU, and I'm not going to say the word here on the air because it would embarrass me, but when I tried to read it the clean way,
no.
This student in the class at SMU, Southern Methodist University, said, "Fighter pilots don't talk that way.
Nope.
They're going to, you know, say the real word."
Right.
And the instructor said, you know, don't self-edit. You know, just write.
Right.
Now, what I do were, in the latest novel, I mean, I don't use curse words just because I'm a grown-up and I can. But if they fit, fine. But I'm really careful about that. In the Johnny Come Lately and then in Seven Wings to Glory, there's not as much.
No.
But they're not a bunch of fighter pilots sitting around in flight suits either.
I believe Cade had the one F-bomb in the entire book.
That's right.
Cade did, and so did Big Brother DJ at all days.
That's true.
At Memorial Day, sitting at a family deal, and what he was talking about was what was overheard at a 7-Eleven.
Exactly.
But do we have any time to talk about the military?
Well, actually, we're out of time.
Oh, we are.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I want to do at this point is, Ronan told us we could go a little over, but I don't want to push it. So,
okay.
Why don't you give us all your information, your email addresses, your website, where people can reach you, where they can buy your books. We'll start there.
Okay. My books are on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, all the online places. It's The Final Salute and Johnny Come Lately, Seven Wings to Glory, releases April 2017 from Camel Press.
Okay.
I'm KathleenMRogers.com, and my last name, Rogers, is R-O-D-G-E-R-S.
Right.
Or even sometimes if you Google Kathy Rogers, the writer, some people know me as that. I'm on the internet, so you can't miss me.
Good. Good. And it's been absolutely, it's such a ball and just a pleasure having you on the air with us tonight, Kathleen. It's just been great.
Thank you so much, Jim. And Russ, thank you so much. Thank you both for reading Johnny Come Lately. I have a really good place in my heart for both of you gentlemen.
Well, as well you should, because we're really nice guys.
Yeah, we are.
And that's a lie that's going to live forever because you said it out loud. Okay, Kathleen, thank you again for joining us tonight. It's just been a real treat having you with us, and I hope we can get to speak again soon. And
thank you so much.
And as our friend Court Joyner, who is on next week with us, his saying is, fight on and write on. So there you have it. Kathleen, again, thank you so much.
God bless both of you all. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Kathleen Rogers. What a great lady.
Yeah, I like her.
What a great lady.
She kept talking about, you know, her age.
Yeah.
But as I'm listening to her, I feel like I'm talking to somebody who's like in their 30s.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or
right.
maybe 40, 43, like
she's like really
Johnny.
Buoyant. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, she's got full of life. Next week we have on the writer's block Mr. Court Joyner, and I'm thinking, excuse me, he may or may not bring someone with him. We were going to have Henry Park, but Henry Park got busy. So Court will be with us next Thursday, and it's always fun having Court because Bobby Jean and I can sit here and just twiddle our thumbs, and Court can pretty much hold the whole show by himself.
Yeah, he does.
He does. That's right. You were on with last time Court was here, which was our very first show. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us again on this wonderful Thursday evening. It's been wonderful hosting the show for you, and we hope that you enjoyed it. And for those of you who didn't listen live, make sure you tune into the podcast. And Russ, always fun having you.
Always enjoy being here. Thank you.
And your niece Bella says hi.
All right. Give her a pat for me.
She's just a great dog, and she's just a wonderful dog. And with that being said, we are out of here for another week.